I finally got out of my Christian household, smoking marijuana, hooking up with guys, all that I wanted, or so I thought, until the very thing I wanted started dragging me down.
Real life starts now.
This is Real Life Radio Show with On Lay.
I felt alone. I felt lost. I felt scared.
Real stories.
I was so desperate in living such a dark and callous life.
Real people.
I was thinking there was no purpose for my life. There's no reason for me to be here.
Real problems.
I told my dad, if you try to take these drugs, I'm going to kill you.
One solution. God.
Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And now your host, On Lay.
Hi, this is Evangelist San Lei. Welcome to the Real Life Radio Show, where we're going to talk to real people who had real problems but found answers in a real God. Lately, we've been talking about what percentage of Christian kids leave their parents' faith and change to becoming either an atheist or a person of a different religion. Now, according to a study done interviewing Harvard college students, apparently only 42% stayed with the same denominational Christian faith. But out of that, 25% had become atheist, 14% felt the need to switch to a different religion, and 19% shifted to more liberal religions such as Unitarianism. Well, the numbers aren't as high as many as the world will tell you, meaning it's not that everybody's leaving the faith, but there's a good amount that becomes atheistic, which is 25%. But what happens to them as they get older? Do their lives all fall apart? Well, no, not necessarily. However, in our last show, we had Whitney Harris, who was a former drug addict. She was telling us how she was raised in a very good Baptist home, but couldn't stand all the rules and how Christianity didn't seem cool to her as she was growing up. So she eventually left her faith and became cool like the other people, started living a life of smoking weed, cigarettes, doing drugs, drinking. She told us how she thought she was living on top of the world, but felt a little conflicted and guilty at the same time. But then drug addiction really set in and it started dragging her through life. Let's hear her story. Whitney, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Whitney, it's great having you back. And it's such an honor to be able to boast of what Jesus Christ did in your life, because I understand you are set free from drug addiction today.
Yes, praise God.
Let's pick up where we last left off. I understand you're going to parties, started getting really drunk. Tell us, what would be happening at these parties?
Yeah, so at these parties, we would just go to a house and there'd be a lot of drinking. There'd be a lot of drinking games, a lot of smoking, smoking bongs, smoking weed.
Wow.
That's pretty much what the night consisted of. And you'd also want to get so drunk and maybe find someone to hook up with, someone that you like that night. It was just a lot of chaos at the parties.
Coming from a Christian home, you probably were taught to value purity. So here you're doing the exact opposite then. You're just like jumping into one-night stands, or wasn't always that way, was it?
Yeah, I definitely was raised to pursue purity until you are married.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I had a high school boyfriend and we weren't pure. And at first, it's almost like with any other sin, you kind of feel really bad about it. And you're like, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this. But the more and more you do it, the more numb you are to feeling bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did start hooking up with guys, one night stands, and that was kind of hard at first. I was like, wow, that's all it is that it's just two selfish people hooking up.
Wow. So you're kind of bitter about it, kind of like, gosh, so this is all this is really about, physical contact.
Yeah, that's what I learned. And so then I even started like portraying guys in a certain light and being like, oh, that's all they want. But a part of me became okay with it. And then I kind of became the same way where I wasn't expecting anything kind of emotional attachment, but I was just doing it for physical reasons.
Wow. So that's the contrast to the way you grew up. So I understand that although these parties were so much fun, there was a deep, dark depression that was beginning to build up inside of you. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was deeply depressed and it started when I was younger and it just kept growing. And so I don't ever remember laughing. This stage of my life, like I never truly laughed. Like I was always negative. Everything that I said was negative.
Wow.
And then when I started using substances, it was a fake. It was like I would start laughing or have some kind of happiness when I'm drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't true happiness. It was just because I was drunk.
Wow. So I understand you're looking for love with guys and the alcohol started very shallow sexual relationships that never amounted to anything And I understand that there's times it left you feeling even more depressed after these relationships. Tell us about that.
Yeah, like as a woman, as a girl, you feel used.
Oh, man.
You almost start feeling like that is the only thing guys want. And so like, that's the only thing that you're good for. I think at that point, you just really have a low self-esteem of yourself.
Right.
You see sex in a whole different light, and it's not what God intended it to be. It's just for selfish purposes.
Well, I understand you eventually tried methamphetamines, commonly known as meth. What happened to you when you took that drug?
When I used meth for the first time, I was at a house in Arizona and we just smoked it off foil. And I knew it was bad. I knew it was something different other than weed and alcohol. I knew I was going kind of deeper into this.
Did you know it was pretty addictive?
I didn't know it. And honestly, I didn't even ask the guy that I did it with. I didn't even ask him what it was.
Wow.
I just knew it was bad. And he told me that it would make you feel like Adderall, like an upper.
Yeah.
So I took a hit of it and I was up for 24 hours after just taking one hit. I did not sleep.
Sheesh.
I felt like I was on top of the world. Like I felt like just that you were the coolest person. You were the best person. Like you just have this euphoric feeling and idea of yourself when you smoke meth. And The few days later I was coming down and I went back to that guy and I said, you know, what was that we smoked the other night? And he said it was meth. I was like, wow. And I felt really like bad. I was like, man, I remember the DARE classes that we took.
Oh, no.
And they said, like, people will think there's bugs in their skin and you'll have all these sores on yourself. And I remember what they taught us in those classes, but the high was so addicting that I did not care. And I said, can we go get more?
So you went and got more and you're like, well, I'll do whatever to get this thing.
Yes, absolutely. Nothing mattered because that's how good the high was.
That's crazy. What other drugs did you get involved in? And what was it like?
Yeah, so I was involved with a lot of prescription meds and prescription pills. And later I did coke, ecstasy, acid, and lastly I did heroin. I mean, I've really pretty much done every drug.
Holy cow. So you really got into a lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even the marijuana seemed to be the gateway to all this. You know, it just seemed to give you this insatiable hunger for more.
Yes, it did. And when you do one drug, it made it that much more easy to say, well, okay, I'll do that one then. You know, oh, I've done Adderall, I've done Xanax. Okay, I'll pop a ecstasy pill. And so it makes it that much easier to keep trying more and more.
It's crazy because you're the Christian kid who wouldn't do any of this stuff. You never thought once, right? Like you just want to have a little fun, but not this much fun, did you? When you were younger, did you think?
No, not at all. I didn't know it was going to go to this proportion. As addictive as I was, my addictive behaviors, I craved them. I loved it. Like I wanted it, you know?
Oh.
It made me happy temporarily during the high. And then you would come down and you'd feel so low and you just want to die.
Oh, geez. So sometimes in the low moments where you wanted to die, did you ever feel inside kind of like, wow, I'm not living the right life? And did you ever kind of maybe sometimes wonder about your mom and dad, the way they raised you? Did you ever want to go back at the really bad moments?
When it got really bad, I did. When it got real bad towards the end of my rock bottom, I did want to go back.
Oh.
I just felt like my head was barely above water, like I was drowning and I couldn't get out. You know, I was like, I'm so deep into this right now, I can't get out. That's how I felt.
Oh. You know, let's stop here. Winnie, I understand at this point the drug addiction was so addicting that it made you desperate enough to give your body away to a completely disgusting drug dealer in order to get more drugs. Winnie, I want to talk more about that in our next show. Thanks so much for being real and raw with us. We are learning so much on how bad it can really get. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Don't go anywhere. Let's unpack a little bit about what you just heard right after the short break.
Did you know that just $10 a month can reach up to 1,000 more listeners to our show, where their lives can be inspired and transformed by the power of the gospel? We need your help. We are a nonprofit ministry, and we need your support today. Let me tell you how God is using this show to touch so many hearts. We often hear how someone was just driving in their car, heard our show, and related to someone's story, and God touched their heart. They received Jesus into their life that day. You can donate to our ministry through our website at www.therealliferadioshow.com, where you can make a one-time donation or make a monthly commitment. You can also support us by getting our merch through our website. You can buy t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, mugs, and more. Every donation helps, whether it's $3 a month or $100 a month. Thank you so much for your support and prayers. Now back to the show.
More Real Life starts now.
Welcome back to the show. We're going to go deeper into what you just heard. So what do you think about this? This to me is starting to sound like Groundhog Day, where Whitney's life is on a constant repeat of doom and gloom. But you know what's really interesting? She finally got to experience that freedom to do whatever she wanted. The freedom to choose anything but God. To walk away from that quote-unquote God and quote-unquote religion that was always telling her what to do and what to stay away from. She maybe sometimes thought to herself, wow, this is what I've always longed for. Why were they telling me to stay away from all of this fun? My parents, my church, it's almost like they were trying to keep me away from all these good things in my life. And you know, those types of thoughts were there on the original temptation since the fall of man. And it's in the Bible where Eve, the first woman, was tempted to eat of the forbidden fruit that God said clearly not to eat. And the thing that was convincing her to do that was this. It's written in ancient scriptures in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You see, Eve ate of the forbidden fruit because she believed in the lie of the devil. And the lie was so subtle that God wasn't telling her the truth, rather holding back something good from her. That idea that God was holding back something is still prevalent today in front of Christian kids and even non-Christian kids. They're dealing with this very concept. Many young people say, hey, don't be such a prude. Don't be so serious. We're just having fun. We can be the controllers of our own destiny, many say. But you can see and hear for Whitney, as she finally chose a forbidden lifestyle, the reality and the consequences of her choice began to surface. And it's going to get much worse. Father God, I'm praying for the person who's saying, gosh, you know, I've always done these things because I always deep inside feel like people are hiding something from me. Like I'm missing something because there's something I'm supposed to discover. They're lying to me. But Father God, help us to know that, Lord, you love us. You're not lying to us. The truth comes from you. Help us, Lord, and illuminate our lives with your truth. We ask for this in Jesus' mighty name. I hope you're blessed by this testimony, and I know that your life was touched.
If you need prayer, please send us a text at 877-325-8030. That's 877-325-8030. See you next time.